And we're turning into part three.
You may have been attached to your typewriter, but if you get a, you know, deluxe Intel computer with videos and Skype and all that, then the typewriter is going to be insignificant like that. And then he's asking, so why is it said that bhakti is rarely achieved? So Babaji Maharaj replies, they should be understood carefully. It's rarely achieved because most people aren't interested. And unless there's an intense desire of greed, of giving up, what is greed? Just like, suppose I see cake, and the cake is in somebody's house that I go to, and it's really fancy with all the squiggles and the flowers, colors, and jelly beans on them. And I immediately develop a greed for that cake. No matter what problems I've had, no matter what I came to see my friend for, it all is wiped away. And I have sole, exclusive thrust towards that thing. It may be that I should have it, it may be that I shouldn't have it, because I'm not allowed to have sugar. I'm not allowed to have chemical jelly beans either. But I don't care. My mind is totally on it. If I love a boy who's already married, and I know I'm not supposed to be in love with him, I really couldn't care less if I have greed for his association. So only when there's such a type of greed for developing our relationship with Krishna, or experiencing that relationship, that makes all other things you don't even think about. Like Gurudev said that Srila Raghunathas Goswami did not have two hearts. He was so intent on attaining Radha Dasa that he didn't even have time to compare. He didn't have two minds. His wife was Miss Universe, the most beautiful girl in all of Bengal, India. But he didn't have time to look at her because he was maddened for his relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then later on with Radharani. So bhakti is rarely achieved because it's achieved only by one who has such kind of greed. Bhakti can easily award sense gratification easily and impersonal liberation easily because people easily want that in return for bhakti. I once asked Gurudev, about 1996 or 7, in his first world tour, I think we were in New York, and I asked him, so when will you reveal to me my spiritual form? So he said, when that's all we want, no one anything else. Even if one performs millions of spiritual activities, if he's not doing it properly, bhakti is not achieved. Like if I'm doing it with a motive, or I'm committing offenses to the deity, offenses to the name, offenses to Vaishnavas, even if I'm going through all the motions, bhakti is smart. She sees the inner, not only the outer. So she won't reward bhakti very easily. That's why we're so lucky that our acharyas have given us all these beautiful songs that you sing so beautifully, begging that all of the things, please take away all of the things and give me desire only for this. When will this happen? When, as in a flash, I completely forget my material body and I see the spiritual mode of Goloka Vrindavan, and when will I be born in Vrishabhanapur, and when will I have my marriage in Yavet, and when will my only disposition be that of Vaishu and Radharani? When will I be like a man with loudly singing the glory? So then all of our songs are for this. So please take away all the things that are impediments, and please give me the reality, despite my disqualification for it. Fortunately, our acharyas have sung songs like that, so that we can utter their song. Otherwise, we would, in our fear that I'm not qualified, we may not make such a beseech and treat in such a way. But our acharyas are giving us that encouragement. Then next he's asking, why is it said that bhakti gives superlative pleasure, superlative intense pleasure? So then Babaji Mahasaya explained, if you take all the happiness in all the planets and all the universes, the highest happiness, and you take all the happiness in the personal Brahma realization, and you multiply that by 10 million times, it doesn't equal an atom of Shuddha Bhakti, the pleasure of Shuddha Bhakti. Because that's the nature of bhakti. Bhakti is a manifestation of Ladini Shakti, who is the pleasure focusing of Krishna. Krishna himself says that I am Purnananda Moy. I am the embodiment, complete embodiment of unlimited happiness. One atom of my happiness can drown the whole universe of happiness. And yet I find myself like a leaf swirling in the wind. This analogy is that Srimati Radhika, she is my praying guru, and she causes me to dance many novel dances. She's my teacher, and she teaches me how to dance many novel dances. Not dances like we do. And now I'm for my right foot, now I'm for my left foot. But out of control, controlled by the holy name. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his Gurudev and said, what kind of mantra did you give me? This Harinam mantra and Gopal mantra. I was chanting, and all of a sudden, my holy name turned into this beautiful cloud-like complexion young boy. And I was overwhelmed, and I started going towards him. And he was playing spoon, and he started moving backwards in a zigzag way, so I couldn't reach him. Then I ran and dashed to catch him, and he disappeared. And I found myself rolling on the ground, oh Krishna, where are you, where are you? So this kind of dancing Krishna does in relation to Srimati Radhika's praying when he gets that focused on him. When Srimati Radhika gets a glance, a sidelong glance, his lute falls in his hand, his dumbbell falls down, and he himself falls down to face. So bhakti is a manifestation of that Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radhika. It's stated in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raya Ramanda that Krishna is the embodiment of pleasure. Krishna tastes pleasure and he gives pleasure to others. What is the cause of these three? Ladini Shakti. And bhakti is her manifestation. So because that's the nature of bhakti, anyone who's merged in bhakti, who's absorbed in bhakti, this unlimited happiness, even though the deed is tiny, anuchit, infinitesimal, he doesn't in his pure stage have infinitesimal happiness. This is an inconceivable thing. He's infinitesimal, but the happiness is unlimited. Then Vijay Kumar asks about the sixth characteristic of bhakti. That is, how does it attract Krishna? Because it's the soul means, the sixth one is Krishna Akarshan. Sri Krishna Akarshani. It's the soul means, bhakti is the soul means to attract Krishna. Just as Radharani is Govinda Nandini, she gives Govinda pleasure. She's the only one that can give Govinda pleasure and control Govinda. So one who is absorbed in her service, automatically that person becomes attracted to Krishna. Krishna becomes controlled by that devotee. I think you know the story of Vaidhyana and Alavana in Puri. There was a father of a devotee, a young boy devotee, and his father was an atheist. And his father didn't believe that Krishna ate. So the boy said to Krishna, if you don't come and actually take it, said, I'm just going to stand there until you take it. So finally Krishna took it. Krishna's controlled by the love of his devotee. I mentioned the other day about one of those four manjaris, the one who, holding a blade and holding her veil, Gurudev explained that her braid was complete in such a way that the bottom of the braid looks like a snake. And so Krishna is bitten by that snake, seeing the beautiful waving of her braid, and he comes in a faint, being bitten. You know that verse at the bottom of the Devakrita scripture, and when Srila Gurudev quotes in Vrajamandala Purushama, generally under the Devakrita, holy place visiting at Mansarovar, that, O Radharani, I'm burning the blazing fire of calm and separation from you. Please forgive me for my offense, and please be merciful, please be liberal, and place your lotus feet on my head. Please forgive me. So when you meet Govinda, Gurudev explains that Krishna not only says this to Radharani, but he also says it to Radharani's maid servant. He's controlled by them as well. Gurudev once said, even if Krishna gets angry with me, then I'll say to him, don't you realize who I am? I'm the maid servant of Srimati Radhika. And Krishna will go, oh, excuse me. So we'll end here for today. We covered the sixth, not covered, but I touched on the first characteristics of pure bhakti. Then, and hopefully in 2 days, we'll be finished with this chapter. And just to give a preview, Prajnath will be asking about if there are any other stage of bhakti between sadhana and praying. And he asks, What are the distinguishing features of sadhana that make it sadhana and not false sadhana? What are the two kinds of bhakti sadhana? Vaidhi bhakti and Raja Yoga. Then he's asking questions about the rules and regulations of Vaidhi. And then there are four kinds of people who come to bhakti: the distressed, the inquisitive, the needy, that's the distressed, inquisitive, those who are cultivating knowledge. Huh? Once again?
For money?
Yeah, money. Money. Okay, so we'll be discussing all these things. Any questions or comments before we go on to Gopi Keys? Lab? What was your question? Oh yeah. Right. Do the Mandaris take part in Natsa Lila? Srila Gurudev asked us all that question. And we didn't know the answer. So he's quoting from, I think it's Hari Harayana Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Does anybody have that known? Or is it Jai Hari Jai Krishna? About Srila Rasa. There's a line about
Jai Radhe Jai Krishna.
What does it say? Jaya Jaya Sama Rasa Sama Rasa Sa Harakiya Bhadi Jaha Rajate Kuchar. What's the English?
Sorry.
Loud.
All glories to Sringar Ras.
All glories, all glories to Sringar Ras.
Which is the essence and most excellent of all rasas.
Which is the essence and most excellent of all rasas.
And is propagated in Vraja as Parakya Bhav.
And is propagated in Vraja as Parakya Bhav. So Gurudev quoted that and he said, so the Mandaris also have Unat Odula Ras. There's two kinds of Unat Odula Ras. The Sakis, gopis who are engaged directly with Krishna, and the Mantris who just want to make arrangements for Radharani to be with Krishna, or Krishna to be with Radharani. And so, wherever Radha and Krishna and the gopis are, the Mantris will be their servants. They are made of, they're made of service. Their bodies are made of prema seva. So wherever they are, they'll be doing services. So in Rasa Lila, there's so many services to do. Singing, playing musical instruments. And they also have to dance, but they're not in the slightest bit interested in dancing with Krishna. How might they dance? Suppose everything's going fine. And then all of a sudden, Radharani's ankles fell, unsnapped, and as she hits her feet, it goes flying somewhere. So if Radharani's ankles fell to stop, then Krishna will lose enthusiasm for playing the flute because she's an inspiration. So the whole thing will stop. So in order to prevent this, the Mantri, who is so adept and so vigilant, so talented, she'll in an instant, very beautifully, skillfully, see what happened, dance over to the ankle belt, pick it up, dance back, put it back and run around the feet, and nobody knows what happened. So they certainly participate. Any other questions before? Yes.
Before we take to spiritual consciousness, we have a material body, mind, and intelligence. But as we come into the process of bhakti and we go through the different stages,